So we're continuing in Psalm of Zion on the days. So the last thing we did was that the machlokas of Rimei and Rabbi Shimon regarding Nosin Tam Lefgam being mutter or usher. So the Gemara says that's totally on how you interpret the idea of Pogma Porta, of the Ben Yomo. Right, according to the way Tosfos was learning. That you say that the pogma porta of the ben yomo is really a nosin tam lefgam, just like any other nosin tam lefgam. Then you'd have to conclude that the Torah said nosin tam lefgam is asur, because the ben yomo certainly is has to be kasher. The ben yomo doesn't have to be kasher. Nothing has to be kasher, right? So if you're going to learn the pogma porta of the ben yomo is really a pegam. So then, the Torah telling you the kasher the ben yomo is telling you nosin tam lefgam is asur. That's what it means. But if you hold pogma porta is not really the same idea of pogum like the ena ben yomo, so then you could interpret the mitzvah of kashering the kalim to be the ben yomo, because the ben yomo is really l'shvach. The pogma porta doesn't count, right? And Tosfos says that's exactly the chiddush according to Rabbi Shimon. That even though it is pogma porta, we don't consider that to be a pogum. That's just part of the nature of the tam, of a kli. So then, nosin tam lefgam is not asur from giulei of dikachavim. And you could say that nosin tam lefgam is still mutter. The only thing is, according to Rabbi Shimon, that doesn't tell you that nosin tam lefgam is mutter, right? Just tells you, it's just a way to learn that the kalim of Midyan were ben yomo and l'shvach, but you can't learn from, you know, it's according to Rebbe Meir, you can really learn from Giuli of the Kochavim that Nosin Tam Lefgam is asur. Because it has to be, if you hold that that Pogma Porta is Pogum, and Torah tells you to kasher it, so then Pogum is asur, right? Gil, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. But just because Rabbi Shimon can learn that the kalim, that pogma porta is not pogum, and how do you know that the Torah was referring to those kalim? Maybe the Torah was referring to all the kalim. It's not a proof. You can't prove nosin tam lefgam is mutter from that. It's just you can say it's not contradicting nosin tam lefgam being mutter. So, in other words, according to Rabbi Meir, you can prove it, right? That if the Torah tells you kasher kalim, it must be that nosin tam lefgam is asur, because all the kalim are equally pogum according to him. So if Torah tells you kasher kalim, it's by definition saying lefgam is asur, because otherwise why would you have to kasher the kalim? But Rabbi Shimon is just saying that the fact Torah tells you the kasher the kalim doesn't prove that lefgam is asur, because I can make a chilek. I can say some of the kalim are l'shvach and some of the kalim are l'fgam. Maybe the Torah is only telling us to kasher the l'shvach ones. But that itself is not a reason to say that that itself is not a proof that l'fgam is mutter. Yeah. It's just saying that if I hold l'fgam is mutter, it won't be contradicted by the mitzvah of Gilei of the Chav. There won't be a stira from Gilei of the Chav. But it doesn't prove, because it doesn't specifically say in the Torah which kalim to kasher. Right, and the Gemara is saying, how do you just come up with a svara that nosin tam lefgam is mutter? Where's a svara like that? Just a svara. I mean, Rishon just held a svara, nosin tam lefgam is mutter. Right.
You wouldn't be able to say like a kalachor type of thing.
From what?
Like, oh, kalachor, if you can make kalim that are tam l'shvach mutter again.
No. Kalim tam l'shvach. From kalim that are tam l'shvach, it shows you I have to kasher them because they're asur. But how do you know that you don't have to kasher or lefgam?
Oh, fine.
You don't know that. You don't see that from the case of Giulei of the Kochavim. He's just, as a matter of fact, no, just in terms of the Shakla Vatari of the Gemara, the Gemara brings in Giulei of the Kochavim for who? For my time at Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Shimon is just saying that your time is not conclusive. Your reasoning is not conclusive. Rabbi Meir says it's conclusive from Giulei of the Kochavim. I can conclude that l'shvach is that lefgam is asur, and Rabbi Shimon is just avoiding that conclusion. But that's not a reason. Is that clear? So what's his reason? Rabbi Shimon, my timer. So how does Rabbi Shimon know that nosin tam lefgam is mutter? Ditanya. Lo sochlu kol nevela lagir shebisharecha titnena vachala. Where does it go? Titnena vachala. Okay. So it says, don't eat any nevela lagir shebisharecha titnena vachala. Right? So give it to the ger toshav. So what does that teach you? According to Rabbi Shimon, kol haroi lagir kri nevela. Shein roi lagir ain't a kri nevela. So anything, so what's it telling? Because it's equating. It's equating the nevela with the ru'uya lagir. Right? Ru'uya l'achila. So it says, give the nevela, when do you give the nevela away? When do you have to give away the nevela? When is ru'uya l'achila? Right? That's the implication from the pasuk. But if it wasn't ru'uya l'achila, then you wouldn't have to do anything with it. Then it wouldn't be a problem. It wouldn't be something to give away. So he says, "She'ena roi lager, shehisricha." It turned bad. It was rotten. Alma mi de ifkim batal isura. So that's his raya. That's his raya. Once it's pogum, the isser is batal. The isser is batal. Okay, this is a serious problem for a mayor, right? For a mayor, hahu lemeuti serucha meikara. What does that mean? Srucha meikara mukas shchin mechayim. What does that mean? It's afflicted with boils. Mukas shchin. That's like an expression for something disgusting. Right. Okay. So that's not appetizing. Mukas shchin. So if it's mukas shchin mechayim, that's called hisricha, basically. Saying that's already hisricha mechayim. That's like hisricha mechayim. So then, the whole of ifkama mikodem shabali de nevela lochal shame nevela alea. So that's Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is saying, what's the part? He agrees. He agrees with the diuk, right? He agrees the diuk implies a relationship between achila and nevela. But he says, what's the relationship? It's only telling you one thing. It's telling you that if the behema is already not roi l'achila before it dies, then the shame nevela won't be chal on it. Right? Lo chal shame nevela aleha. Oval hecha di'itzar me'ikara. But if it dies first, and it was edible when it died, Sulo poka iser mishum pigam. Then the iser won't be removed because of pigam. Right? So Rabbi Meir says, Rabbi Shimon says, it's bottle isurei, meaning even though the iser was chal, it'll be bottle when it's not real achila. Rabbi Shimon says, once the iser is chal, it'll never be bottle. But it can prevent the chalos of the iser. And Rabbi Shimon, why doesn't he want to learn the pasuk means that? Right, now there's a difference between saying the Isser Nevela is being removed and saying this was just never part of Isser Nevela. Isser Nevela was never chal on it. Right, Isser Nevela was never chal on it. Rabbi Shimon's saying the pasuk is only Rabbi Meir is telling you the pasuk is only teaching you Issa Nevela is not chal. But if Issa Nevela is chal, meaning to say if at the moment that it's roi for the shame Nevela, it's roi la achila, then the Issa Nevela is chal. And then even though it starts to rot, it still will be an Issa Nevela. So why doesn't Rabbi Shimon... So who's the more conservative? Who's more conservative? Apparently the Gemara thinks Rabbi Shimon is... Rabbi Meir is more conservative. Right? Who's learning the... The Gemara is conceding that Rabbi Meir seems to be learning the smaller Chiddush. Right? Because it asks, why doesn't Rabbi Shimon learn like Rabbi Meir? Meaning that should have been, that would be a good svar to say that it's only teaching you that the Isser is not chal. Where do you see that the Isser is removed? Right? So he says, no. Rabbi Shimon, srucha meyikara, lo tsricha miyuta. You don't need a miyut for that. Afra ba'almahu. Afra ba'almahu. What does that mean? It's just dust. What does that mean? It's worthless. I mean, there's no chiddush. So let's get it straight now. So now it comes out that what? That Rabbi Shimon learns without a pasuk. What would you say? Let's learn Rabbi Shimon if he didn't have a pasuk. So what would he say? So he would say, if the behemah dies as a mukas shchin, then what? Mutter. The Isser Nevela is never chal on it. Why? Safra Bahama? Oh, but hold on. But let's say the behemah dies good. The Isser Nevela is chal, right? And then let's say it becomes srucha. Oh, what happens to Zafra Bahama? Now he's not such an Afra Bahama guy. It was so obvious. How come it was so obvious to Rabbi Shimon that even without a pasuk, the behemah would, the Isser Nevela would not be chal? But he agrees you wouldn't know that the Isser Nevela is not removed without a pasuk. You wouldn't know the Isser Nevela is removed without a pasuk. Okay, one more try. We have to differentiate between the Isser being chal and the Isser being removed, because that everybody agrees that it's easier for the Isser to prevent the chalos of the Isser than to effectuate the removal of the Isser. Because even Rabbi Shimon, who in the end holds that both are true, that Ein Roi Lager even removes the Isser, he agrees conceptually that without the pasuk, you would have said the Isser is simply not chal but not removed, but it wouldn't be removed later. So it's not like Rabbi Shimon just holds Al Pi Svara. It's not Al Pi Svara that the shame. For some reason, Al Pi Svara the Isser wouldn't be chal, but Al Pi Svara the Isser wouldn't be removed, right? And Rabbi Meir holds even with the pasuk itself is coming to teach that. So it comes. I mean, you could view it like this. I mean, if you wanted to put some sort of order into it, you could look at it like this. That everybody agrees. Everybody agrees what? That it's harder to remove an Isser than for an Isser to be chal. And everybody agrees the pasuk is coming to do one thing. Right? The question is, what's your starting point? According to Rabbi Meir, the Isser would be chal even on a srucha. So the pasuk is only coming to remove that. According to Rabbi Shimon, it wouldn't be chal on a srucha. So the pasuk has to be coming to tell you that it's even removed. I'm just, you know, just if you wanted to, there's a certain consistency. The pasuk is coming to move it up one level for both of them. But if you trace down to where they're starting from, it's really a question of what their starting point is, and then the pasuk will move them one over. I'm not sure if that's helpful conceptually, but just I always like to see where they're starting from, and what they're pretty much agreeing on. So they are agreeing on this idea that it's harder to remove than to prevent the chalos. So that certainly is worthy of trying to explain. I mean, what's difficult for both of them in the end is, I mean, it's basically restating what we're saying already, but if Roy Lachila is, if being Roy Lachila is really in such an important factor, then how is it that it only plays a role in the chalos according to Rabbi Meir? I mean, and Rabbi Shimon's havmina. Why don't you say if it, just like it was afra for him for the chalos, why isn't it afra for him for the iser? And if the chiddush for Rabbi Meir is that it's not chal, why shouldn't that automatically be telling him that it's that if it's once it's not a food, it's nothing. I mean, Manashach, is Royal Achila a factor or not? Why is it all Dafka a factor in the Chalos, not a factor in the sustaining of the Isser? Let me ask you another question. I'm not totally sure of the answer to this question, but let's take Rabbi Meir. So when would it become Mutter? Would it ever become Mutter? I mean, I don't know. I just wonder, would you say when it's Nifsal Machilas Kelev? Like by Chometz?
What's the difference between those two states of...
So basically, Ein Roeh L'Chilas Kelev means it doesn't have a shame of ochel at all. It's not any form of ochel. There's an ochel for Adam, and then there's an ochel for Behema. So when you say it's Nifsal Meh L'Chilas Kelev, it means it doesn't have any shame of ochel. Alright, let's take Rabbi Shimon for a minute. Let's start with his Shita. So he's saying that even without the Pasuk, you would say the Issur Nachal. Why is Issur Nachal? Why is Issur Nachal? Yeah, so what are you saying, Yehuda? In other words, let's say it like this. He's learning that the Issur Nevela is an exclusion from Achila. Okay. In other words, Isser is a shevi al tasa, means don't do something. So what is the Isser coming to do? It's coming to remove something from Achilas Adam. Okay, at the moment of the chalos of the Isser, the nature of the chalos itself is to remove something from achila. That's what the chalos means. That's what it means to be for the issur to be chal. It means I would have been able to do something, but the issur has to be chal on that which I could have eaten. Rabbi Shimon is saying, and that's the ikur of the chalos. The ikur of the chalos is taking something that has a din of achila and creating an isser on it. Can't create an isser of achila on something that doesn't have a din of achila. It's not a maisa of, the isser has no relevance to something that itself is not royal achila. It's not doing anything. So that's what Rabbi Shimon apparently means. He says, Afra Ba'alma means in the realm of Achila, this is like a nothing. So the Isser comes to the category of foods, and it's Chal on one of the things in that category, and removes it from the practical use of Achila. But it had to be something that had a practical use of Achila, and now it's removed. So he's saying the behemoth that was a mukashchin in terms of achila was like an afra ba'alma. Somebody would no sooner eat that than eat dirt. So it can't be, it's not roy for a chalos of isra achila if it itself doesn't have achila. Right? That's the logic of Rabbi Shimon's idea that the he knows his starting point is an assumption, or his starting point is a conviction that the nature of the of nevela is the ikur of nevela is a removal from achila, is an isser of achila. It's a lo sochal. So in order for a lo sochal to be chal, there has to be an achila that is negating. But what's interesting is what? Al pisvari, you could still say that once the shame nevela is chal, that's true that the isser is an isser of achila. But that's the nature of the isser, to eat. But you could say that what? But what is really chal? What's chal is a separate din, a separate shame nevela. How do you know that the shame nevela itself is taloi on the presence of an isser achila? Maybe just in order for it to be chal, it needs the isra achila, the possibility of achila. But once it's chal, maybe it's different. So we have to think about that. Why does that make sense? How does that make sense, Queen's what we're saying? I mean, the problem is the way I'm saying it, you can ask a question, right? I mean, you could say, if Isra Achila means don't do something that there is to do, right? That's the way I'm defining it, that Isra Achila means don't do something that you practically could, that practically exists, right? And that's why it won't be chal if there's no achila. So then how could you sustain the Isra Achila if there's nothing to do? If it's not roy for achila, how could the Isra Achila be sustained? I mean, isn't that, why isn't it follow logically from what we're saying that if it's afra ba'alma for the chalos, then naturally the issue should also be removed. Don't do what? I mean that don't eat the non-edible? What sense does that make? If that makes sense to not eat a non-edible, then the issue could be chal. And if it doesn't make sense, it should automatically fall off. What is the idea that it won't be chal, but it will persist? Okay. So maybe we say something like this, that the nature of the shame nevela is the subject matter of nevela is ma'achalos asuros. That's the ikar of nevela, ma'achalos asuros. It's the opposite of heter shechita, right? That's the definition of nevela, more or less. That an animal that did not die from a shechita. So in terms of the Isser being Chal, the Isser will only be Chal on a Cheftza of Achila. Okay? In other words, the Isser is going to be Chal on, it's a removal from the category of Achila. The Shem Nevela is, like we were saying, is a removal from the category of achila. So that's in terms of the chalos. In terms of the chalos, it has to be part of achila in order for the issue to be chalon in the first place. Okay. But once it has the shame of nevela, the actual formulation of the issur is what? The actual formulation of the Isser is Achilas Nevela. Okay. So there's no problem if it's not Royal Achila. That's not a question anymore. In terms of the Isser, it just, as long as it has the Shame Nevela, it has the Isser Achilas Nevela. In other words, like this. You have to think about it like this. There are Achilos of general achilos adam, normal achilos without dinim of Torah, and then there are achilos of mitzvah and achilos of iser. Okay. For the din of nevela to be chal, it has to be chal on an achilas adam, because that's the category, that's the class of actions, that's the class of objects that nevela is chal. If I say, what is nevela chal on? You'll say, well, it's a malchus, it's chal, it's a type of issur that's chal on foods. That's the nature of the issur. It pertains to a certain category of objects. What objects does issur fall on? No, it doesn't fall on rocks, it doesn't fall on wood, it doesn't fall on, it falls on food. That's the nature of the group that the issur is chal on. Okay, but once the Isser is Chal, it now is creating its own definition of an Achilas Isser. It no longer needs the idea of the underlying Achilas Adam. It now becomes transformed into a separate din of, it now has its own definition of an Achilas Isser. We don't have to refer back to the underlying question of achila. It's already been removed. Let's put it this way: it really has already been removed from the realm of achilas adam. The issur itself removes it from the Achilas Adam. That's what we were saying in the first place, that it's an exclusion from Achilas Adam. Has to be in the category to be excluded, right? But once it's already been excluded by the Achila, by the Isser of Isser Achilas Nevela, it no longer matters if in fact it would have been in the category of Achilas Adam anymore. It's already been removed by the Isser. So now it's really a non-edible. So as long as it has the shame nevela, that will persist.
What?
The Isser Achila. No, as I'll put it this way. If I would, if Isser Achila was trying to be chal on a non-edible, on the mukash shchin, so I would say to the Isser Achila, where are you going? That's not food. Right? It's not food. You have no business being chal on something that's not food. Okay? But once it's already chal, so now it has the shame nevela. Right? The behemoth now has a shame nevela. So what does that mean? That means to say that behema now becomes defined in a new way. Now it's defined as an Isser Achila. Any Achila of that animal will be defined as an Achilas Nevela. That's the only pertinent question now. In terms of the Chalos, the pertinent question was, is it an edible? So then you have to make recourse to the natural idea of Achila, because it exists naturally as a food. And the Isser is chal on the foods. So I have to make recourse to royal achila. But once the Isser nevela is chal on it, now my only question is it roy for the maisa of achilas nevela? But maisa achilas nevela is not a natural achila anymore. That's a halachic definition of an Isser achila. The only thing that's relevant for the Isser of achilas nevela is that it's possible to do a Maisa Achila to it, and it has the Shem Nevela. As long as it continues to have the Shem Nevela, it's Roy for Achilas Nevela. So why should it be Paka? What's impossible? I can say it's impossible for the Isser to be Chal. I can say it's impossible for a food Isser to be Chal on a non-food, because it doesn't pertain to a non-food. But the Shem Nevela is now just a halachic definition. It's halachic shame. And the Isser is defined by eating the shame nevela. So all the only question I have now is, does it still have the shame nevela? Even if it's not roy l'achil anymore, even if it's not roy for the regular achilas adam anymore, that's very good, that's very nice, that it would never have been selected in the first place. But the selection and the shame are not the same thing. The selection just means it has to pull out of the pool of foods. But then it puts its own stamp of the veil on it. The stamp of the veil is not totally anymore on whether it would have been a regular achila or not without the shame of the veil. That's irrelevant. The only relevance of the royal achila is in terms of the selection process, not in terms of the continuance of the shame that it got. That's a different issue, right? It'd be like if I'd say that here in Yeshiva Bnei Torah, we have a rigorous application process. We only select guys who have certain qualities. So I say, okay. So if a guy doesn't have the qualities, he would never be selected. But let's say we pick the guy, and whatever, he slips a little, backsliding. So he's no longer roy. He would no longer have been roy to be picked. Does that mean he's not a Yeshiva B'nai Torah student? Does that mean Mamela, if he falls below the standards of the selection process, he's Mamela, the shame is Pakamine? No, of course not. Of course not. Right? Right? Like if we said that you had to, in order to join, you have to come to Minyan every morning. So, but the point is like this. There's a difference between the selection. There's a difference between the chalos of the shame and the continuance of the shame. You could say, in order for the shame to be chal, it has to be chal on a certain group, because that's the maisa of the, you know what I'm trying to say, is like the selection is a certain maisa. The chalos shame creates a certain effect. It creates an effect of negating something from achila. So it can't do that unless it was existing that way. But now the only question is the shame itself. Now it converts that old thing into a new identity of an Isser Achilas Nevela. Isser Achilas Nevela is never Roy. You never Roy for Achilas Nevela. That's always Isser. So whether you could say, so it doesn't matter anymore whether it's Roy for Achilas Adam or not. Right? But that's the thing. That's a good mashal. You think about it in other it's true in most things. The requirements to be selected and to be given a certain status are not the same for the losing of the status. Right? In order to be selected for a judge, it's much easier than those requirements to be appointed as a Supreme Court justice are much, much lower than the requirements to impeach a justice. That's it. That's just the, it's a davar pasha. So that's similar idea to Reb Meir, to Reb Shimon. Now without the Gzeiras HaKosef, I'd say of course the Yeser Achilas not Chal, because it has to be Chal on an Ochel, but once the Ochel has the Shem Nevela, now it's a separate question. When does the Shem Nevela removed? There's no proof that the Shem Nevela itself is totally on Achila. It couldn't have been Chal, because it wasn't in the pool of possibilities. It wasn't in the pool of what could be selected. But once the Shem Nevela is Chal, now it has its own rules. What removes the Shem Nevela? We don't know. So for him, the Gzeiras HaKosev is telling you what? So what's the logic of the Gzeiras HaKosev? That they're the same. But what does that mean? We gave such a good argument here. How does that work? Right, so how does it work? So what does it mean now, according to Rabbi Shimon? That once it loses the Shem Achila, the Isser is Puk, I mean, it's Batal Isura. So it means to say that that the ikur of the Shem Nevela itself is a removal from Achilas Adam. Right? That's the ikur of the Shem itself. And the ikur of the Shem itself is a removal of Achilas Adam. As long as it's not functioning to remove from Achilas Adam, the whole Shem is bottom. It's not really like a selection and then an independent identity of Nevela. Nevela, the whole Shem Nevela is really like a functional idea. Right, it's like a functional idea. The other way to look at it is that there's like a certain process of chalos, and then there's a new identity of nevela. And it could be a certain requirements to be selected, but the shame is independent, right? Like a judge, that's a new chalos shame. A judge, it has nothing to do with the requirements of being in the pool of applicants, but it would seem Rabbi Shimon is learning that the whole identity of Nevela, the whole Shem Nevela, is a negation from Achila. It's not like a new status of Nevela that gets interpreted into don't eat Nevela. It's synonymous with the function of the bitl, of the removal from Achila. So as long as it's not functioning to remove from Achila, the whole Shem Nevela is gone. And Rabbi Meir, Reb Meir is funny. He didn't even think you need achila for the. He didn't think he even needed the shame achila for the chalos. I mean, that's what I understand. According to Reb Meir, see, the one thing we're not sure about over here. This is the thing we're not sure about. The question is: does Reb Meir require any idea of achila at all in the vela? Is he saying not royal achila? He's learning without the Gzeiras HaKosev of Achila, you would say Nevela's Chal on anything. So he's learning that what? That without the Gzeiras HaKosev, you wouldn't even know that it's a din of Ma'achos Asuros, apparently. Because Nevela is not just relevant for Achila, it's also relevant for Tumah. Right? There is another identity of Nevela. It has an identity of Tumah too. So maybe he held that there's no, that you don't, it's not necessarily true that the ikur is achila. It's just a certain definition of dying without the shechit achila. No, as he would say, I really don't know. I'm just speculating. But it could be that he held that that's an assumption that Rabbi Shimon is making to say that the ikr of the din is achila. There are other ramifications of nevela. So there are other ramifications of nevela. For instance, if a treifa is shechted, what's the halach if you shecht the treifa? You don't have tumas nevela. Pretty sure about that. So I have to verify that. But the point is that there is a ramification of nevela in terms of tumas. So maybe Rabbi Meir's idea is that without the pasuk linking achila to nevela, maybe you would say that it's just a chalos shame. It's just of behema. It's not necessarily of achila. What is the pasuk by? Let me see this way. What's interesting is that they don't learn it just from the fact that the pasuk says lo sochlu kol nevela, right? What are they learning more from the equation of lager shebishrecha titnena va'achola? Right, because lo sochlu kol nevela doesn't teach you anything. That's just telling you about the shame. Anything that has the shame nevela, you can't eat. Right? It's telling you whatever has the shame nevela, you can't eat. So that's interesting. It would seem that according to Rabbi Shimon. Well, let's just stick with Rabbi Meir for a minute. Lo sochlu kol nevela. So what is that? So he doesn't learn that teaches you about the isser, that the nature of the isser is achila. Doesn't teach that the nature of the shame is a shame is totally on the isser achila. It's just telling you whatever has the shame nevela, don't eat. So where do you get the idea that the ikr of the shame, that the chalos shame is really in terms of achila? And that's the essence, that's the essential question for the chalos shame of the isser. You get it from the fact that it says, give the nevela to the ger toshav to eat. That shows you that it has to be an edible. For instance, I'll give you an example. Torah says, don't eat the gid anosha. Right? But we hold that a gid anosha is really not an ochel. On its own, it wouldn't be an ochel. If you had the gid anosha of a treif animal, it wouldn't necessarily fall under the category of achilas basar. It's a different category. The gid is not basar. So it's possible for the Torah to say, don't eat something, and give it by, and therefore give it the status of ochel. For instance, there's a well-known machlokas about if you have a gid anosha of a nevela, is it chayef for nevela too? So I believe the mafarshim try to explain that really in terms of basar, it's not basar, so it wouldn't naturally be included in the isser of nevela. But since the Torah was machshavit as a food because of the isser of los of not eating the nevela, so then do we say it comes under chilas nevela too? But the point is, just when you say don't eat it, doesn't necessarily mean that it had to be that on its own is not telling you anything about the chalos. That's just telling you whatever has the shame, don't eat. You need to know something more. You need to know that the whole nature of the chalos shame is in terms of removing it from the category of achila. For some reason, Rabbi Shimon knew that. I don't know. We don't know how. Rabbi Shimon knew that the ikar of the whole chalos shame and avela is to remove from achila. But maybe that's just in terms of the how it's chal. But that's how it gets the shame of nevela, by removing something from achila. But once it gets the shame of nevela, it persists on its own as a shame of nevela. And then the isser is don't eat the shame of nevela. And you need the pasuk to tell you that no, the whole nature of the isser nevela is a removal from achilas adam. But Reb Meir started out saying, I don't know anything. All I know is that there is such a thing as a shame nevela. It happens when the behemah dies without shechita, and that's asar b'achila. How do you know that the chalos has anything to do with removal from achila? So the equation of ger shows you that clearly, because it's saying only that which the ger could have eaten or can actually eat is roi for the chalos of nevela. But beyond that, from that point on, all you see is that it requires a chalos shem nevela. Where do you see that the chalos shem nevela itself is totally on the shem achila? Beyond that. Okay, think about it.